Shabbat was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? Kind of chance for the flag or the liberty bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. It's the best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over? Wish Coke was still cola, and the joint was a bad place to be. And it was back before Nixon, live news all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook, still would. Best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? I'll be rolling down a hill like a snowball headed for hell. With no kind of chance for the flag of liberty. Wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. Is the best of the free life behind us now? Are the good times really over for good? Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. For the flag, and let's all ring the liberty bell. Let's make a Ford and a Chevy that'll still last 10 years like they should. The best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
Well, that was my good buddy Merle Haggard, and I think you all heard of him, and that's a great song from old Merle Haggard. Yeah. Another one I like is that Highwayman. I like to sing that on karaoke, and this is War Radio, White Aryan Resistance Radio, War Radio at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website is at resist.com, and you can download all kinds of older radio shows off of there, and every time we get new ones, we put them on there for you. Oh, yeah, and there's all kinds of other things on that website, too, including our nutty cartoons, and you can subscribe to our newspaper. It's got a lot of cartoons in it, too, and that's $30 per year in the United States, the disunited states, and that's $30, and it's 12 issues, and it comes to you in a plain brown envelope, and then we've got the Canadians, Soviet Kanukistan, all you slaves in Soviet Canada. It cost you $40, and that's first class to your house in a plain brown envelope. And if you're living in Outer Mongolia or any other country outside continental North America, it is $50 per year, and that's U.S. funds or money orders or something like that to John Metzger. Please don't send me euros.
That's first class mail. We're getting all crazy here already because this is going to be a crazy show. The doctor of all truth has slinked in here. Mm-hmm. He's sitting here waiting to get going. And we have a surprise guest.
Yes.
Should I tell him who it is or should I let him guess? He's world-renowned.
He's, you know? Irish.
He's Irish, yeah.
Terrible Tommy, too.
He's known as the co-host. And
oh,
so
oh, yeah.
Do you know if you remember who the co-host
oh,
was?
Oh, co-host number two.
Co-host number two.
Yeah,
okay.
Not number one.
All right.
You wrapped the original co-host.
It's the one and only Tom Padgett.
Terrible Tommy,
and he is coming here from Akron, Ohio, where he hangs his hat at the Friendly Bar, right?
Yes, sir.
And whenever you get to Akron, go to the Friendly Bar and ask for old Tom, and he'll give you a dissertation.
They all know who he is.
There we go.
Everybody in town knows who he is. So glad to see you, Tom. It must be thrilling to be in warm weather.
Well, I'm sitting here in my shorts on a regular afternoon. I don't think I'd be doing that back east. So,
I hear you came all the way to California to see one of our California girls. She must be hot stuff.
Yeah, the problem is she lives in Lake Tahoe.
Oh,
see,
man.
So I'm up there freezing. It's worse up there than it is back east.
Oh, man.
Kind of the story of my life. Good idea, wrong timing, you know.
I won't even go to Tahoe except in the summertime, man.
Well, maybe I'm not quite as bright as you are.
You know, I told my girlfriend, you know the house I want? When we take over, like the right wing says.
Yeah.
When we come to power.
When we come to power. You know that house that Al Pacino, the Godfather, sat in at the end of the movie where he's just sort of reminiscing in his mind of the history of the thing. He's looking out over the lake where they planked his brother and the whole bit. And that house, I like that house. It's dark and it's made out of stone and everything. I would live in Tahoe if I had that house.
Yeah.
Well, we need to make the owner an offer he can't refuse. Right?
That's
the owner
of
the Godfather.
That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that or Al Pacino. I don't know. Well, anyhow, I hear things are sort of heating up back there politically. Hey, you've been infiltrated into the National Alliance. What's going on there?
Tom, I don't know where to begin this.
Do you go to all the meetings?
I did. I went to some.
Yeah. Who was in charge of donuts?
Well, let's see. Our donut man passed on to the next
dimension.
Oh. And so since then, the donut situation's been kind of sporadic.
They haven't found a new donut man?
No.
Okay.
What kind do you guys like? Krispy Kreme donuts?
Oh, Krispy Kreme
roast. Oh, no Winchell's for
nothing? Well, Winchell's... But Winchell's was really a good standby.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had our choice, I think Krispy Kreme.
So Krispy Kreme's is the National Alliance official donut.
Well, we want to, what is it, meet, eat, and retreat? Yeah.
Well,
or is it eat, meet, and retreat?
What kind of coffee do they do?
Eat, meet,
like Starbucks?
Retreat.
Yeah, Starbucks coffee and Krispy Kreme donuts. Okay. Official National Alliance.
Well, at least they picked a hopping company. The paper just said their profits are up 46%.
Oh, I imagine, you know.
The Alliance or Starbucks? Or Krispy Kreme?
Well, the Alliance should invest all their money in Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme.
Because their profits went up 46% in 1 year, and he was running after Enron.
But you see now why
an Enron victim over here.
Now, I have to tell our listeners though,
the capitalist Trotskyite,
that I haven't seen the Honorable Dr. Reverend Caldenberg in about a year. And this man's exercise and diet program is paying off.
Damn,
and I think it's time that I'm going to short Krispy Kreme because this man kept the stock going. Well, I won't say all of it, okay, but believe me, you didn't want to short the market with wine on a donut rampage. But the doctor is like a new person.
No, he's a new doctor of all truth.
And a very healthy.
Slimmer and trimmer.
Yes, indeed. Lean, mean, fighting machine.
I even have a personal trainer that I pay $50 an hour to yell at me.
Wow. Hell, I'll train you.
Oh, well, she yelled at me for free. Well, she's good looking. So.
He never gives me any money for
yelling. Well, she's a very good-looking blonde, and her dad's rich, so she can yell at me all
she
wants.
Why don't you...
You're thinking of making your move here, bud.
Yeah. There's never a time like right now.
I am never late for my training.
You know, it's just like the book on sales says, the only secret to selling is closing.
Mm-hmm.
And when do you start closing?
The minute,
minute you start talking.
Yeah.
And that with a woman's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So you just walk in and say, hi, how are you? My place or yours?
Yeah.
Well, we've been real serious here. Now let's get more serious. Now, what the hell is the state of the nation, man? how are the people back there beyond the great Mississippi thinking about this war in Iraq?
Well, I will say this much, Tom. I think that the most of the folks have caught on, and I'm talking about the folks, you know, within our sphere, and I
you mean radicals.
Word. Right.
Okay.
Most of the radicals are seeing the war for what it is, just an extension of the Zionist puppet state of Israel, and where they're acting as their proxy. So I think there's been some good progress made.
Well, throw in the military-industrial complex. Come on, you know what I mean.
That Nana, as far as our corporations. Let's not stop that.
But
as far as the year of 2003, just in general, I'd have to say that I can't believe the changes that have occurred since the past year that I was here.
Is that like the song says, rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell?
Well, good and bad. Good
well,
and bad.
Well, yeah.
I would say on the negative stuff, we can look at the demise of the World Church of the Creator. I guess I'm not supposed to use that word now, am I, huh? That's
you can say anything on this show and
Didn't a judge say that name
well,
is
that
copyrighted
judge
now,
me
huh?
I see one, World Church of the Creator, World Church of the Creator.
Well, I wonder if they're going to go after D's and all those guys for using it, too.
Well, what I say is everybody should start it up. You know, one guy started up, they said you notice, quit. Another guy started up, send you a notice to quit. You just keep going, you know, like you're on a...
Well, I think we can try to...
Our poor brother Matt Hale is wasting away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we have to try to look at this forensically, so to speak, and try to look back. And, of course, hindsight's 20/20, and we can always look back and say, well, could have, would have, should have.
Yeah.
But I think that this really sort of set the tone for the death knell of organizations, because if you look back on this, some of the folks who were instrumental in bringing this thing down were longtime paid FBI informants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that all of these groups have to do is get far more serious about security,
mm-hmm.
as far as background checks, as far as lie detector tests, just a bunch of things that
just
I think...
Just plain gumshoeing, follow
them
around.
Just common sense.
You know?
And it seems like with a lot of these groups... And I don't mean to pick on anyone in particular. I think everyone has good intentions, but I think from the Alliance to the church and on down, someone shows up and says the right thing, and all of a sudden they're...
None of the organizations have any security. Now, you know, I took a poll on that on the Internet, and, you know, the giant percentage of people never had to undergo any searching at all, not even their military records. Now, of course, they can be falsified. And the feds, they can give you phony papers and all that, but at least you try.
Well, let me tell you something. I've received some spam on the Internet, like I'm sure most of us do. And there's a one piece of spam I've saved. I might even get it. It's, I think, a $40 thing called the Truster, where you hold it in your hand, and supposedly it's a handmade lie detector.
I got the Truster.
Okay. Now, I don't know if it works, but I know the psychology, because the last show that we did, you informed me about Robert Sheldon,
right.
Back in the 60s, ran the United Clans of America, and you said that one time he showed up with the lie detector, said, well, tonight's the night.
He was the first leader in the country to use lie detectors.
And the one rat jumped through a plate glass window, cut himself to shreds, and ran like hell out of
that's
the place.
That's right.
Okay, so I think that the thing is, when you show up with something like this, whether it works or not, the psychology involved, the word spreads, well, maybe these groups aren't a pushover, because it's, what's the old cliche here about the three FBI agents just... that drew undercover duty, and you know they probably don't like that because they have to be away from their families, and you know it's and it's a tough situation. The Stockholm syndrome's a possibility that they're going to identify with the people they're trying to infiltrate, and so they're sitting around trying to you know commiserate their misery here. And so one says, "Well, who'd you draw?" And he says, "Oh, I've got to deal with a motorcycle gang." Oh man, that's going to be tough because you're probably going to have to grow your hair out and get some tattoos and beat some people up and do some drugs, and oh, that's not easy. And they ask the other agent, well, you know, who do you have to deal with? He says, well, I have a mob family. It's, oh, man, that's even worse. You're going to have to wind up, you know, doing some, you know, strong-arm stuff. You may even have to shoot someone. That's
hell
terrible.
Yes.
That's dangerous. Well, who'd you get? I got the National Alliance. Well, what are you going to have to do? Well, I have to send in $35, you know, with $10 a month dues and my $25 application fee, and I'm going to have to just wear a suit and show up and eat some donuts and eat some Krispy Kreme donuts, drink some Starbucks coffee.
Well,
and
don't forget to help put up a billboard down on the highway.
You see?
And that's very important,
and,
revolutionary act.
And I
want to qualify as we say, we're not just picking on the National Alliance.
No.
We're picking on all organizations that exist today. Now, there's no excuse for not having security.
And there's virtually none.
Yeah.
And I would think, well, if we look back in the Matt Hill thing, I had met his chief of security, had the misfortune of meeting him on two occasions, and I think it's human nature that if you're with someone, well, you, out of respect to that person, I mean, you know, I hate to question anyone. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the guy.
Look, I met him too, didn't I, in South Bend?
No, you didn't meet Ebola. And Fox wasn't there either.
Oh, I see.
But what I'm getting at, it seems like after the fact, all this dirt comes out about these people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, now, wait a minute. Like, this Reverend Fox, who was the state leader of Kentucky when he joined, and then he became state leader of Illinois, and he moved to Peoria to be Matt's state leader and in charge of the relocation effort. Well, it turns out the guy's a paranoid schizophrenic. I mean, and he's going to be testifying against Matt in the upcoming trial this April. And this Ebola was a zero from square one. I mean, this retard couldn't even make change at one of these things went to down in Kentucky with Ron Edwards and the Imperial Knights of the Klan had a big thing down there. And so I went down. What was it? Eurofest?
Yeah, they call it. I believe it's the Eurofest.
Something along those. I can't remember now. But they'd have some bands.
They have one this year, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. But the point is afterwards we find out what total zeros these people are. And, I mean, I've made the same mistake myself 20-some years ago. Yeah. But the point is I could get away with it easier then because I think now there's...
Yeah. You know, I think the key to security is like, you know, when you're a little kid, I grew up in a small town, and whenever a new kid moved to town, I couldn't play with that kid until my parents met their parents. Because my parents had to check them out to make sure they're okay, meet their parents. And to me, the only people I ever trust in the movement are people who I know their parents. You know, I know your parents, I know your parents, you know, you've seen my parents, you know my history, you know where I live, you know where I was born. People that I know, absolutely, stuff I know, because the FBI, they're not going to let you meet their parents.
Right.
Because if they did, you know, they're fucked as an agent.
Yeah.
Well, Lawrence W. Myers was a good example.
Right.
Now, when he had infiltrated the Alliance, he always had different addresses.
Yeah.
And he gave one that was down close to a friend of mine down in Indiana, Ken Saylor.
Yeah.
And so Kenny and I decided one time, I was down in Indiana for the weekend, and we decided, well, we're just going to be ornery like me and... Terrible Tommy did the one time with Stan Wittick. We're just going to go to the door because I figured, hey, any of my racial friends can show up at my house at any time. Yeah. It's not like I have a big black inflated doll in the closet or something, you know, got a pound of cocaine out here in the... I mean, come on, you guys can come over any time.
Yeah.
I mean, I always want to call first, but if not, no big deal.
You're right.
And we couldn't even find the address. There was no such address. And with Lawrence Myers, he'd always say, well, I'll have to invite you over sometime. Never did.
Yeah.
You know, never did.
Well, remember what I told you in Cleveland, and I hate to say it, we was having a few drinks. Mm-hmm. No, I don't hate to say it. It was fun. But anyhow, we're in there, and Lawrence Myers, he takes a fifth of vodka, lifts it up, and his thumb was in the bag.
Yeah.
And I said, they said, well, what was your first clue? Well, that was because they love to get people drinking, and then they're not drunk.
Yeah.
And then they hear all the goodies.
But the whole thing is there was a canopy of things about Myers. No one made the move until so much damage was done. Now, I think we have to kind of just look at all of these things, and you realize how long this stuff went on.
Yeah.
And no one seemed to say anything. And I think that, you know, I heard this one president of a motorcycle club, and he'd been around a long time, and they asked him, well, what do you have to do as a prospect to get in the club? Do you guys have a mysterious screening process? He says, no. He says, the main thing is time. You have to get to know us. We have to get to know you. If you're comfortable with us and if we're comfortable with you after a considerable period of time. Yeah. Whereas the problem with these groups, if you're going door to door trying to get converts, recruits, well, the whole thing is if someone says, I'll pay my dues every month, put on a suit, go to meetings, they're in.
Well, and the guy becomes your chief of security 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember Bob Miles, and I've said this many times, I say, Bob, you don't travel with security, do you? He says, no, because I'd have to save my security when the crap went down.
That's usually the way it works.
And also, the security man is always the post they want, so they can listen and find out any plans you got, anything
well,
like
down,
that.
Well, down in Kentucky, myself and Matt Hale and Brother Clark Kent sat there for about 2 hours with Matt, and this Ebola guy was right behind us, probably had his wire going on all the time.
And they never strip search these people.
No.
They say, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. So a guy's willing to do 40 years in prison because he don't want to offend somebody.
Yeah. And so the whole situation was just a travesty in the first place.
Well, we have to be honest without being too tough on some of these people, but like Matt, you know, they're asking for it.
Yeah, and
they put themselves right out front. Usually they're a little bit arrogant, and they I got chief of security. I got, they got nothing. No. In fact, they'd be better off if they didn't have anybody.
Yeah, they had nobody to protect them from their security.
You remember that HBO movie with John Gotti?
Yeah.
And where the one old copper was saying, the one old guy in the, can't even think of his name now, but he's in that coffee shop. And Gotti's in there, and he says, John, you have put yourself in a position where they have to come after you. Now, you don't need to be on Front Street. You don't need to be on the cover of Time magazine. Yeah. You know, the old Joey Gallo. You know,
yeah.
And he kept trying to tell John. And I kind of see a few parallels there with Matt.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
was right out there, right up what you need to do. I mean, go back and read Rockwell. Rockwell was on Front Street. But if you're going to be out there being aggressive, you need to be smart.
Well, even then, whenever you get higher profile and you get in the news a lot more, you draw their attention.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to do that because you got to get some press, but you have to be more careful. Well, look at Gotti. He was able to simply get into the apartment above his meeting place there and bug the place. And then they went to make sure they bugged every parking meter. Now, why in the hell couldn't anybody notice something odd was going on where they're tearing all the parking meters apart? You know, and with all the money they're making in the mob, they couldn't sweep the places, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And then they had bugs in the dash of the guy's car.
Yeah.
How did they get a hold of his car? Why is his car in a locked garage?
And well, it was, you're thinking of Tony... it was when it was a parking lot. It was, and they somehow got it was a restaurant parking lot. But still, the point is well taken, and I think that a lot of these groups, and the sad thing is Matt Hale had all the intentions, good intentions. I mean, he's a good guy on the inside. I mean, he had all the guts in the world, brains, everything, but there was that one fatal flaw, and I don't mean to throw stones at him.
No.
Because I know I've probably done some crazier things when I was younger, but the point is, it's a different world now.
Alex Curtis is another one.
Yeah.
He was an up-and-coming young guy here in San Diego. He was doing a lot of good work, and he knew, I'd given him the message over and over again, but then he went out and went against his own rules.
And if you remember when, after the Ben Smith shooting incident back in, when was that, summer of 99, I believe?
Yeah.
Well, the FBI showed up at Matt's door. Well, now, we have a simple rule in White Iron Resistance, and I'm not that bright, maybe, so I like simple things.
Mm-hmm.
Five words. I have nothing to say. No, you're not in trouble. We're just here to ask you. No, I have nothing to say. Well, we just want to clarify. I have nothing to say.
We want to help you clear yourself.
I have nothing to say. 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 I mean, we can make this into...
Well, him and his dad talked to him for over 2 hours, is what I remember.
People, remember this. One wrong word to an FBI agent is a federal crime, obstruction of justice.
You can't lie to them. If you lie to them, they'll get you for that.
And they can construe anything you say as a lie.
Yeah.
There is no benefit, no upside to talking to the FBI. But here we've got some of this right-wing reactionary... Well, we're above board. We're not doing anything wrong.
How many times have you heard that shit? Oh, what we got to do is obey the laws, and they will come and see that we're obeying the laws, and then they will leave us alone.
Well,
after us.
That was a big attack on the lone wolves and the cells thing. You know, and here all these organizations are saying, boy, these lone wolf ideas are all bad, and they're all going to go to jail. Who's going to jail?
It's
the members of organizations.
Right.
Yeah.
And I haven't had any friends go to jail.
Where's the heat at?
Yeah.
Last March, I believe, I had to knock at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy comes out, and, you know, it was just one agent.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas Padgett. He's, no, Donald Duck. Got the wrong place. So I just held up.
Only there. One agent?
Only one.
I've never heard of that.
Well, he was on a fishing expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And where this came from was there was a fellow, allegedly, who used to work for the Alliance, and then he left and he took the list, and his house was raided under a copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, now I don't know how true any of this is. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going on down at the Alliance headquarters?
Yeah,
but the bottom line is this, here he's at the door. Well, no big deal. It's just I have nothing to say. And it's like, well, you know, it's not, they'll always say, well, it's not like you're in any kind of trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we're
you.
Your buddy here.
Yeah.
No, I have nothing to say. And as he kept going, I said, well, you have a good day.
Well, what makes you so damn mad is every cop, the lowest cop on the street, tells you they'll have the right to remain silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything you say may and will be used against you.
Yeah. Shut up.
Now, and will. And
shut
will.
Up.
Will, they say that. Yeah. And will be used against you. But yet people, the minute a cop jacks them up, they're going to show them how innocent they are.
Oh, yeah.
Just shut up. It's not that difficult.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it's because they watch too much Perry Mason and they think that America has this total justice system and all they got to do is obey the laws and be a good citizen and everything will be well.
Watch these crime shows on TV. They all talk their ass off. They wouldn't have a show, I guess, if the guy wouldn't talk.
But they mimic real life.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of cons do.
Because here's the thing. Once Matt was indicted on this ridiculous charge that I have corresponded with him since he's been in jail, and he has said that the conversation where his agent provocateur was trying to get him to whack the judge was nothing to do about the judge. They weren't even talking about the judge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So under any kind of semblance of a justice system, Matt would walk from this, but you guys know as well as I do.
He's not going
to win. We have to assume. Same type of justice.
We have to
assume.
And then
we got the other fellow down there in Georgia. What's his name?
Chester Doles. Now, there's another example, and I don't know Chester Doles, but I've heard nothing but good things about the things he was accomplishing and the dedication he was showing. But the thing is, when you go around bragging, you know, I've got about 30 guns, but they're all my wife's name, so no one can touch me.
Well, he was on probation.
Yeah.
Right. So what that means is no guns in the house, okay?
Yeah, and I've heard guys try to say this over and over again. Well, that was my wife's. It's very clear, no guns in the house.
Now, if you're politically correct, like a G. Gordon, what's his name? G.
Litty.
Gordon
Chitty.
G. Gordon Chitty?
I call him G. Gordon Chitty.
Yeah. You know how strict it is. We have a friend that... his wife had a mailbox from one of these mailbox Cedras, and unthinkingly, she put his name as one of the co-owners of the box. Well, that violated his probation because you're not supposed to have a facetious mailing address without telling your probation officer.
Wow.
So he was back in the can.
And that was a parole violation.
Yeah, the parole violation.
Well, 3-4 more years.
Yeah. What I was mentioning, Gordon, is I guess he brags about the fact he's a convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Watergate situation.
You never should wave a red flag so much in their face, you know, that I'm getting away with something.
Right.
You know, I talk mean against them, but it's generalized.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's say, oh, my wife's got the
don't talk specifics. And that's where when Matthew put out that thing about the judge saying, well, we need this judge's address, stuff, I just immediately, my heart went up in my mouth. I said, Matthew, where are we going here? It's like, Tom, you have taught me quite well throughout the years. You can say things in general terms. I think all federal judges are rats and should be hanged. No big deal.
Sure.
But if you start saying Judge XYZ, who lives at 1234 South Maple Street, should be hanged at 8 o'clock tonight.
And they're home at da-da-da hour.
You got a problem, bud. You got a problem.
Well, he put it on the internet, and I emailed him. I said, what the hell are you doing that for? That is very bad.
So I think as far as the state of the church and then, of course, the civil litigation and the contempt situation, I mean, these things can be dealt with, but it's going to take a lot to resurrect
it. You got to keep the head leader on the street, and he's not going to be on the street for a long time.
So it's going to be up to someone
else. And then these guys, immediately, they get a lawyer, and these lawyers, well, we have to get in all this money. Well, there is no amount of money in hell going to get them out of this.
Yeah. Well, like with Chester Dolls, would they come up with $75,000 for Bob Barr?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Hey, if I'm wrong, we'll see. But I said
give the money to the wife and the family because you're gonna get it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna do time.
Oh yeah. Well, Dole can't get off because if his wife owned the gun, it's a violation. Case closed. You know,
but even with Matt Hill, even though it's a phony deal, they're going to get him.
Well, what they'll get him on?
But all this money is spent. You know, you can't get jack out of these people for normal activity. But the minute one of them gets in jail, they got the deal to collect all this money.
The lawyers can make money and the lawyers still go to jail.
These rat-ass conservative lawyers that pretend to be right-wing. Mm-hmm. And
Bob Barr, our great white hope, Bob Barr.
Yeah, right.
Well, you look at it this way, too.
Would you trust anybody with a mustache like his? Okay.
Well, you talk about piling on charges, because after this whole trumped-up thing came with that, the next step was to add a subsequent indictment of lying to the FBI, obstruction of justice, and that's in that big, long, several hours long thing after the...
What did they say lied about?
Well, after Ben Smith... The FBI said, now, Matthew, we know that you're with us, and we know you're above board, and you're a good right-wing conservative, and we know that you'll tell us, won't you, if anyone advocates violence in your group, you'll come to us, we're above board.
Hey, right then's when he should have lost his job as the Potiphar's master.
Well, here's what happened, okay? He agreed he would notify the FBI if he knew of any violence, okay?
He created a breach of contract with him.
Right. Now, when their agent provocateur, Tony Evola, I don't know what the guy's real name is, but he was going under the name Tony Evola, mm-hmm. recommended he was going to kill, and it wasn't the judge, but it was that Jewish lawyer, James Ahmed. Mm-hmm. When he recommended, he said, well, we're going to whack the rat. Is that okay? Or Matt said, allegedly, good. Well, they added another charge. Wait a minute. Here is your chief
did
of security.
Did he say we or I?
We. I think he had that we thing where we'll whack him and we'll get the address. And
had a mouse in his pocket.
Whatever. I haven't heard the tape, so I'm only getting the
reference. Well,
it'd
have to be we, because none of these guys ever got the balls to go out and do it by themselves.
Right.
They always got to have somebody holding their hand.
We. So the point is, that added another charge. Because the FBI said, well, why didn't you call us when your chief of security was talking about whacking a Jewish lawyer or a federal judge or something? You see what I mean? So the point
better
is...
Better yet, why did it say, shut up?
And I don't want to keep hammering this home.
Yeah.
I sincerely hope that Matt beats this and gets out and resurrects the church. Mm-hmm. But I think regardless of how this thing goes, we need to learn from it.
Yeah, at least instructions.
Not me. I don't need to learn
well,
a damn thing.
I'm talking about we is the audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
The okay. Uther mention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And as far as the National Alliance, I think that situation seems to be just the infighting. I have never seen infighting quite like that. It seems like.
But they're not going to learn. Organizations, they don't learn. They're not going to change their way of operating. They're not going to do it. Because the leadership does not demand it. The leadership's afraid to offend people who are contributing money.
And Tom, what about the Dr. Field situation?
Well, the National Alliance, I guess, took him on as a member, which means that probably in about a month he'll own National Alliance.
Not only took him on as a member, but he had spoke at the leadership conference, and they bragged about it. Now, the thing here, did you notice now the National Alliance has been around since, when, 1974, when Dr. Pierce founded it.
Yeah.
So it's not like
After he bailed on George Lincoln Rockwell.
Well, that's another story.
Yeah.
But it's not like Fields didn't know about the existence of the Alliance and didn't know their program, because I was with the Alliance back in the late 70s when I first heard about them, and early 80s. So Fields had to know the program. And all those years when Pierce was running the show, did Fields try to join?
Fields is like a circling vulture when these
he
things
He didn't
happen.
Try to join, did
no.
The answer to that is
no.
No. Because he knew that Pierce ran this with an iron fist. Now, Eric is still a personal friend of mine. And I don't mean to trash talk him here, but I'm just kind of annoyed and hurt that he didn't ask you, me, you, any of us that could have possibly stopped him from taking this course of getting in bed with Fields. But I don't want to keep belaboring the point.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on.
I think it's just as well if the group situation is over with for now. I'm not saying that groups are out of the question for the future, but I think that the next generation of groups will be ruthless.
Well, you know that if an organization comes along that's good, it's going to be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no successful organization.
Yeah.
I mean, they may say, well, I sell a lot of CDs and DVDs and T-shirts. You know, maybe I got $1 million in the bank. But as far as making real change, they're not.
It's not happening with what we're seeing now. So I think for right now, I think the group approach could have worked back in the 50s or 60s, had it been more ruthless than it was. I think Eisenhower would have backed off from his integration plans if he would have been met with stiff resistance.
You know what's funny is a lot of these organizations, they say, oh, well, we're the number one thing. But if they're so successful, why doesn't anybody ever hear of them? You ask your mom or something of these, you know, like whatever, the Church of the Creator National Alliance, you go, what the hell is that? It's so successful than every, you know, the average
person. But if you said who's the American Nazi Party, everybody would know what that is.
Yeah.
Or the Klan.
Yeah.
Or the Klan,
Or even war. Most people know, have heard of you on TV. And
they've heard a terrible time. Yeah. I'm a household word, Okay, we're testing this now with the microphones. We're off of the 360 degree, and let's hear some of your talking.
Okay, talk about Samuel Adams.
Samuel Adams. How many of you had today?
Well, this guy doesn't even tell me about that disgusting commercial with Samuel Adams.
Talk about that on the radio show.
He's a race trader.
Until I buy a 12-pack that's on sale.
Yeah, talk about that on the show.
Now, what the hell is all this about Samuel Adams
I was telling Tom there's a commercial, you know, the guy, the Samuel Adams beer, I guess he has a house down in San Diego, and he's always doing promotional stuff. They had a commercial where it showed a really beautiful white woman and this nigger, and they go in this back room, and you hear all this moaning and groaning like she's having an orgasm with this nigger in this room, you know, that's what all these people in the party are looking over at the door and stuff, and then the camera sneaks in the door, and the nigger and the white woman are just having a family Adam and beer.
Oh,
I was telling Tom, you know, something like that is really stupid, because...
And you went out and bought that.
But he tells me this after I buy beer.
Well, can you imagine how that would play, like, a bunch of white guys, you know? You know, you're at a bar drinking with your white friends, and here's a beer that's promoting some white woman fucking a nigger. Says, boy, I sure want to sell me Adams after that.
Yeah, you know? That's well, what we ought to do is start reverse commercials and buy, like, nigger mask or nigger uniform, like a broad.
Yeah.
And a white guy take her in the back room, and they hear all those, and the whole bit. Put them out as, you know, reverse psychology on Samuel Adams, and then you get them to sue you, and then they'll make nationwide news, and you got no money anyhow, so what the hell?
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's time to move on to a much more serious discussion. Of course, the first discussion was pretty serious.
But I think I've made my point about groups, and I think for right now, it's dead, it's over at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Later on down the road, perhaps. In the past, perhaps. The present, no, we're doing it the way we need to do it.
All right, what's your message to the guys in Iraq? American white guys.
Duck, motherfucker!
Understand what you're fighting for, understand what you're dying for.
They say 1,700 have gone AWOL already and deserted. 1,700, where do they go?
Well, I don't think we're getting the full picture, naturally, with our controlled media, but... I have some internet sources that have really told me about some of the psychological problems. Look, it seems like governments have a built-in self-destruct mechanism that they will do whatever they need to do to unravel themselves. Now, the United States has the strongest conventional military. It's the military machine from hell.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's ever been anything remotely like this with the tanks, the planes, the bombs, the technology. There's no country that can go toe-to-toe with America in a conventional war. So what is the one war that we could engage in, the Bush regime could engage in, that they could possibly lose?
Yeah, guerrilla war.
And so what have they done?
They go to guerrilla war.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And I can see the human tragedy here of the young kids that went to fight it, as I did many years ago in Vietnam, and I feel bad for them. But my hatred of the Bush regime is even stronger. And it's just like, well, don't come crying to me when this stuff happens. We called this a long time ago.
Well, it's your fault because you didn't get behind the troops.
Oh, I see. No, I'm behind the troops. I want to bring them home.
Yeah, before they even go. We just keep them here.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep them here. That's supporting the troops.
Yeah. Yeah, when a guy don't die, that's pretty good support.
Well, if you look at it this way, I think a lot of the group approach has been, well, we have to move quick, and we have to try to get the river to suddenly change direction and go upstream. Well, I think right now the river's running downstream, and the best thing we can do is just keep encouraging the system to eat itself. It's its own worst enemy.
The only method you have, you know, is years ago I told the story about, you know, when it was a runaway train. And you could stand there by the side of the tracks and reach out and try to grab it, you know.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to stop it. You just pull your arm out of the socket.
Yeah.
So when that train is far enough gone, is going fast enough, what the hell? Put grease under the wheels and let her go all the way. Get it out of there. Because you're not going to stop it.
Well, you look at all these alerts. Now, the Fourth Amendment has just been almost totally eviscerated. I mean, there is really... I mean, if the police stop you, not well, since 9/11. Am I the only guy that's tired of hearing that phrase, since 9/11? Since 9/11.
It doesn't even, I don't even respond to it. It just goes right over, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
since 9/11, we have to give up more of our rights. And again, I hate that word, rights.
They love it. Our rights, you can't give up a right.
We have privileges.
If you really had a right, you couldn't give it up if you wanted to.
So we have privileges.
We have privileges.
Right.
Anything they can take.
Right.
Take anything away from you they want, including your life.
Your life, your property, your freedom.
Yeah.
You have all of these things by the privilege of the government, and they can take it. And it seems like, though, that the system, that so many things are in motion now for the system to eat itself. Like, for example, today is what, January
8th.
January 8th,
You're
2004.
You're dating this fantastic show, but that's okay.
Well, okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
January 8th, 2004, and what is our, these stupid color codes? We're still in high alert?
Yeah.
Now,
we're still on orange.
Now, how much does this cost the system constantly, in not only financial terms, which is great because we want to bleed the beast, But in emotional and psychological terms, how long can the cops stay on high alert, even though they like all that overtime? But when you think about it, and I know from my military experience, you can only stay on high alert for so long before mentally there's a meltdown.
But they're broke. The whole budget on Homeland Security is broke.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't anybody read that in the papers last week? It came over the internet. They're out of money already. Where are they going to get the money?
Great
They're not
going to
get it from Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got
Now that I'm in California, I have to defend my friend Arnold.
Yeah, Arnold.
Arnold's really with it.
Black nigger.
Yeah.
I mean, Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Arnold's really with us. Boy, well, I'll go on record now in public saying I cannot see him succeeding because he is not dealing with illegal immigration because he can't. Yeah. I don't think Dr. Reverend Honorable Kaldenberg could succeed as governor, as much as I love this guy.
When he tries to get rid of this $15 billion deficit, next year is another $15 billion.
I don't see how terrible Tommy could succeed.
That's $2,000 for every household in California.
And what is the main problem, boys and girls? Illegal immigration.
Well, you know the street niggers aren't going to be paying that $2,000.
Oh, yeah.
And the Mexican wetbacks are not going to be paying that. And that leads us up to what Bush just did.
Yeah.
He essentially said 6 million more Mexicans are going to be citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Let's just tear down the borders and have 600 million Mexicans.
Oh, yeah,
citizens.
Well, that's basically what he does. You know, he's going to go down there and meet with Fox in a couple months.
It's this week.
Oh, this week, and tell him about his plan.
Unless they don't meet on our side of the border.
Well,
our president is afraid to have a meeting on this side of the border because I'd be right in the front row screaming at him.
Well, you know, he's becoming Mexico's greatest president, George W. Bush.
Do you know what the connection is? All those corporations in the United States have always controlled Mexico when we controlled the railroads down there. That's why there were revolutions down there. And I don't blame them for revolting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Vicente Fox was educated in Chicago, University of Chicago.
Same place
where
Paul
the left-wing Fabian socialists come out of.
Paul Pot was in the Midwest.
Yeah, he's totally wired into the whole globalist picture, you see.
Yeah.
And if you're wired into the globalist picture, they're going to... You're a member of the club. Fox is a member of the club. He's not even a Mexican nationalist.
Yeah, he sure doesn't look like
it. Of course he's not a Mexican nationalist. I mean, I'm talking about politically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all globalism because NAFTA has hurt his people as much as it's hurt us and the Canadians.
You know what?
The Mexican corn farmers and all these agricultural guys got totally screwed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one thing that nobody's ever answered about Fox is how does he get a name like Fox? You know, like English people and Jews have names like Fox, not Mexicans. Isn't that bizarre?
That's true. That's true. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be Jews.
Yeah, but I just kind of wonder, like, what's a Mexican doing with a name like that?
Yeah, it should be
You know my motto, everybody's Jewish until proven innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. Good old Chickenhead came up with that.
Wait a minute.
Frank Reed came up with that.
Well, I don't, you know, I come up with all this stuff, and then years later, they said, this guy brought that up, you know, that five words. They said Alex Curtis came up with that. Well, I was using that years ago.
You taught Alex. He just forgot what you taught him.
I know. Well, no, he didn't say necessarily that he started it. These other guys out there, you know, old terrible Tommy, you know.
But
I have to copyright everything.
There you go.
I know that Frank Reed came up with that.
But the whole... I mean, getting back to the Iraqi war, you know, as a Vietnam veteran, I can kind of hear some of the same things of the lights at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
We just need some more troops, but we're really cracking down, and the insurgents are getting weaker.
Well, the best parallel is once we get the native soldiers fighting, then we can pull out, because we train the Vietnamese or the Iraqis now, and they'll take over, and then that way I'll let America get out.
Well, we did get them fighting. They're fighting us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that was the big thing in Vietnam, is once we got those Vietnamese fighting, then they'll stop the fun.
Those rocks were they?
They're not rocks. We went on this in the last show. Rocks were the Republic of Korea. These are the
Arvins,
regional forces and the popular forces.
Yeah.
The point is, I remember we'd go into a village sometimes and we'd be making a sweep and we'd tie up all the young men and, you know, we're just a bunch of kids ourselves and we're scared and we've got our weapons and brandishing our weapons and let's just, you know, like go back to the movie Platoon, who's this rice for? What about the weapons? Who are they for? Well, you'd see the young men humiliated in their own village and you would see the hatred. And the contempt, like, if I live through this, My Life Mission is killing you and driving you out of this country. Well, now when I watch Fox News, that unbiased, fair and balanced coverage?
Yeah, Republican
right?
TV.
Yeah. Fair and balanced coverage. When you watch these sweeps on there and you see how they're humiliating the Iraqi men, they're parading them around, it's the same psychology. If I were advising the U.S. military to lose this thing, which I would be doing, I would say just keep doing what you are doing. Make sure you're brutal. Make sure that they're hating you. Forget
the
doors
in. Toss the women around.
And you notice the one time there was just one picture of a soldier that there'd been a bombing incident in Iraq the night before. So now there's an American soldier guarding the perimeter, and they had the yellow tape like a crime scene and the big craters in the road. Well, am I the only guy that thought you needed to be there before it happened? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Well, even Saddam Hussein, no matter how bad he was, the way they put him on television, you know.
They're trying to delouse
him. And demean him and stuff like that. That's not the way you're supposed to treat a fallen enemy.
Yeah.
It's just not the way you do it.
But that's the way we do it in the Mideast. That's the Israeli way. That's the Jewish way. Humiliate them.
Well, they're training our guys because they're even over here. The Jews are Israeli armies over here in Georgia training our troops on how to beat the hell out of these Arabs.
And Israel's such a secure, happy place to live nowadays that we should take their advice.
I've been thinking of immigrating.
Yeah, I'm sure. Boy, imagine how that would go, though. The Israeli security seemed terrible, Tony. You think he's on
that'd be funny.
I'll go out there and move into one of those empty houses in the settlement.
Kibbutz.
Yeah.
Sharon said yesterday, you're going to have to move out of there. You know, these people, you know, they're nationalists. Most of them come to the United States and move into those settlements.
Yeah.
And they built the settlements just as a provocation.
Yeah.
And now But they get in there and start farming everything, and now Sharon says, you're gonna have to move out. Well, no wonder everybody's pissed off at everybody.
Yeah.
Wonder everybody doesn't hate everybody.
Well, I just see this as a recipe for disaster for the Bush regime, what they're trying to do, in Iraq. And I've talked to a high school class a few months ago, and what I said about it really resonated with them, so. We'll see how it goes with the guys that are over there. Hopefully some of them will come back and be a little more perceptive about it and kind of see things the way I did when I came back from Vietnam and tried to see the bigger picture.
Yeah, but how many others did? They just went back, got a job, and the hell with it. And
started watching basketball and eating Cheetos. And
they didn't learn a damn thing.
Well,
in fact, if you say something to them, they want to beat your brain.
Oh, yeah.
You must be a leftist, no-good son of a bitch.
But remember, we don't need 95% on our side. We need that small percentage of racially conscious types that are willing to do something.
What would we do with 95% on our side, you know? Well, that's impossible, number one. Number two, we need 1% of fanatical soldiers.
That's it.
And I don't mean wearing uniforms and all that kind of stuff, but I mean ideological, tactical fanatics.
And it has to be someone, and hopefully it's our listeners out there in internet radio. Right?
That's how this country got going.
Oh, yeah.
How many people do
I mean, you know, look at these guys. They're up against the biggest army in the world, the most powerful country in the world. And what was it? 100 of them went out there to Lexington Bridge and shot it out with a damn redcoat. I mean, come on. Imagine the situation. Try to put yourself in that position.
I've been to that bridge by
not even thinking you might even win. You're up against the biggest army in the world.
Yeah.
And when Washington went across the Delaware, he'd already lost. He only had 3,000 troops left. He started with 30,000 troops, going to go over there to kick the ass of the Hessians. He got across there, and he did. And you know why? I'll tell you why. A lot of people don't know that. It's because another guy who was in the Continental Army but was separated from the main force, marched in there and got his ass kicked. And as they're coming up the roads from the Delaware, they meet up with him, and he's all pissed off anyhow. And so he takes his troop in there, and the Hessians thought that was the main advance.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the main advance. And then when Washington comes with his 3,000 troops, they thought it was all over, and they got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Look, just think of that. 3,000 troops against a mighty army like that.
You know,
people forget, we're revolutionaries. This country was fucking born in revolution.
And I think that Washington faced the same conditions that we do. And, I mean, everything's different, and I don't want to fall into this thing of fighting the last war like most generals do. Not that I'm a general, but, you know. The thing is, human nature was the same then. I'm sure Washington had all these negative... Oh, you can't fight the British. Oh, they're too strong. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. What are we...
You know where that was coming from? The Congress. The Continental Congress wanted to throw in the towel. They were ready to throw in the towel. Jefferson was hiding out at Monticello, and George Washington up there at Valley Forge. They don't even have shoes. They're mm-hmm. cold, freezing to death, no food, everything. And Washington said, "Where's Jefferson?" Well, he knew where he was. He was hiding out down there. And they were all getting ready to throw in a towel right mm-hmm. when these guys are there bleeding and everything at Valley Forge. Yeah. So, and some of them, you know, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence went over to the British side. I forget what his name was. Mm-hmm. So
whenever we think we have a hopeless situation, we can look back on history, and to me, I get some comfort from it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do too.
You know, I think that was very inspirational. In fact, last fall, I was back there at the Lexington Bridge mm-hmm. on vacation back
there. Never
and,
been.
It's such a small place, as Bunker Hill is such a small mm-hmm. battlefield. Like when you go to Gettysburg, it's such a small area. And yet, our race fought against big odds then.
Do you think we'd have been successful if Paul Revere would have been a nigger? I've heard guys say that they'd have said, "Well, there goes that nigger. He stole that horse," and they would have shot him, and we never would have known the British were coming. Huh?
Never thought of that.
Well, I think you need to think about that.
I never thought of that.
We got any more to cover on that Iraqi situation?
I think we're good on
that. You know, most of these guys are going to come back from there, and they're going to become the cops and everything mm-hmm. else, and they've been used to brutalizing the Iraqis, and they're going to probably come back and want to brutalize us.
That's good.
Because the system will blame us. Because we're against the war. We're against the guys going over there and getting killed. You know how they twist things around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the old...
The Republican conservative Christians are the ones who...
Oh, yeah. Neocons.
And, of course, the leftists, they'll attack and say, "Well, you're nothing but dirty racist anyhow, so what are you going to do?"
Two wings of the same beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll just...
Do I have comment on that, Eric Severide? I mean, come on.
Well... I don't.
Did you run out of steam?
I don't see the war ending anytime soon.
Oh.
My opinion.
Hopefully not. Hopefully it'll drag on for 10 years.
Because you remember the old cliche about guerrilla warfare, if the government is not winning it, they're losing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean Iraq, that's going to drag on?
Mm-hmm. I don't see
how
any
many years.
I mean, it's
I thought 10.
10 years?
How long can it go on?
10 years, God.
I don't see them getting out before 10 years, at least a decade.
Oh,
but tying into the big picture about how the system is its own biggest problem,
yeah.
I think this is just one area where that manifests itself. Mm-hmm. I think with the corporate greed, with the globalization, I mean, how many people are getting alienated?
Well, you know, the funniest thing is when they're going to try to enforce democracy there. Can you imagine all those fundamentalist Muslims running candidates and stuff?
Yeah,
they're going to say, "I was opposed to the United States from the beginning. No, I was opposed to the United States from the beginning."
Yeah, this is just great. And I think we see the system eating itself more and more and more and alienating so many more people. Like, look at the environmental situation. Mm-hmm. There was an article in my favorite love-hate paper, the L.A. Times, mm-hmm. just yesterday about the environmentalists, how they're upset with some of Bush's policies. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
Let this beast just keep going. And I think that so many of the groups haven't quite got to the level that we're at mm-hmm. on yet.
Let's go back to Arnold. Arnold,
mm-hmm.
you know what? They had a special fund for the freeways in L.A. They've been stealing that money and putting it into the general fund for years. Well, at the last stop, they have another fund, emergency fund, to redo the bridges and keep them sound. They haven't been refitting the bridges in L.A. They haven't been keeping them sound. And Arnold just took... I forget how many billion out of that fund in L.A. to keep the bridges from falling down. See, this is how they do this.
Like a banana republic, because going back to the, you know, when I was a kid, I don't remember, maybe I just wasn't aware of it then, but I don't remember all these budget crises. Like, none of this stuff was happening back then until this influx of non-white mud was coming into America. I don't remember any of this back then. Tom, you're a little older than we are.
Yeah. Well, this obviously is mostly because of the immigration.
But we're not allowed to say that. You see, it's almost like, what did the good Dr. Caldenberg say a long time ago? He says it's almost like the analogy is the house is on fire, and the house is burning, but we can't call the fire department and say that the house is on fire. We have to say, well, maybe there's termites, maybe the house needs clean. No. There's flames shooting out of the window.
You know, what's sad is the only people who are saying stuff like that is people like us
and it, like John and Ken on KFI.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a talk show group once in a while, they're saying something, and talk about tearing the president apart. They sure did yesterday.
Oh, that's a great line. I guess it was Ken on line. He said that Rush Limbaugh, you know, George Bush could dump a turd, and Rush Limbaugh would try to sell it to the American people as it was a diamond.
Yeah, right.
That was a pretty
good one. What about old Scumball? Is he going to go to jail or not?
They sealed his records.
You don't notice that?
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't seal your record or my record.
Because he was doing a little doctor shopping.
He got his mate or whatever, one of his employees, to go out and buy dope. That means he's a drug dealer because he hired other people to buy drugs for him. He's a drug dealer. He's not just a user. He's a dealer.
The poor brought out probably some, Guatemalan.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She was like some kind of
spinning her out on the street
to buy dope for him, and if she got busted, he'd go, well, I didn't tell her to buy the dope.
Well, you know why? All these right-wingers, they talk about the left, but they will rally around these bastards every time.
Oh, yeah.
They'll make every excuse in the world for Rush Scumball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what was his war record in Vietnam?
He got out of it because he had a cyst on his ass.
Oh. He had a pimple on his ass?
Oh, okay.
Why did you have a pimple on
your ass? I think I had one, too.
He had a cyst on his anus.
Oh, they didn't,
I'd like to check his military record and see if there's any pictures of that, you know? I want to see some proof he had a cyst on his anus.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So I actually went to the military doctor and said, oh my, Rush, that zit, you can't get in, you can't fight for America, you got a zit on your head. And Rush went, oh, please, I'll pop it, please!
And then Bushy, of course, he joins the Texas Air National Guard.
Now, hold on, pal.
To keep out of Vietnam. And then he disappears for a whole year.
But.
He's talking about being commander-in-chief. He's a damn AWOL guy.
But.
He's a deserter.
But if the Viet Cong would have invaded Texas when he was on duty, he was ready.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now that may be, yeah. I wish they'd have tested that out. Maybe they could have flown a few in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, where was Bush? Nobody has said where Bush was.
Where was George? Wasn't that a speech at the Democratic National Convention?
He's probably out smoking.
Where
Bush.
Was George?
He's just doing coke or something at the time.
Smoking Bush. If he was smoking Bush, it'd been some pepper belly Mexican because he has this. You notice this crazy ass attraction he has for Mexico?
Maybe that's where he lost his virginity in the back seat of a car.
I'll bet you anything. His first girlfriends were pepper bellies.
Yeah.
And Clinton, he's obviously laid with the niggers.
Yeah.
You know, he's got this fetish for niggers.
Well, you know, that's how their daughter looks very funny. It doesn't look like either Bill or Hillary. Now, Chelsea looks bizarre with that kinky hair.
I know
like a freaky looking
even
person.
Carter's daughter, remember her?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of, one thing I must say this, the Republicans, their kids look pretty good.
Yeah.
But the Democrats, God, some of these people, offspring are pretty bad.
Yeah. I wonder if that's drug
remember George Wallace, George Wallace's son? There was a goofy looking guy. I don't know what he's doing today either.
Well, how about Strom Thurmond's daughter? Let's see.
Oh, yeah. She probably looks like Jemima. I think she looked more Aryan than George Wallace's son.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
a little bit in the way.
Now, what's next on the agenda here? We've torn everybody apart.
Well, like I said, to kind of put the cap on this bigger picture stuff, I think that...
Don't knock the place over.
I think
Jesus, you come into my studio here and you're tearing things, throwing them apart. Just let it go. Just move your chair a little bit there. Have another Sam Adams. That race mixing drink.
Yeah. Oh, I'll never live this down.
This is the official beer of nigger fucking.
Yeah,
right. Friendly bar.
No.
Do they know you drink?
They don't
Sam
even
Adams?
Have Samuel Adams at the friendly. Okay.
Well, what drew you to Sam Adams anyhow?
It was on sale.
Oh, choice. I saw a good deal.
Yeah, bargain.
It's
a bargain.
It's a good deal.
It's a bargain. I mean, why did God make Goyim?
How about
someone
movies?
Has to buy retail,
have you seen any movie? Do you ever go to movies, Tom?
A few. Not too often, but a few.
Return of the King.
What's
that?
The last movie you saw, Birth of a Nation?
Last movie I saw, I think, was the second one of The Lord of the Rings. Haven't seen the third one yet.
Third one's great. It's incredible. I love it.
Some people say it's racist as hell.
Hmm.
It's anti-democracy.
Yeah.
Return of the King, baby. Fuck
well,
me.
I didn't, in the first two Lord of the Rings, I didn't see a lot of diversity there in the cast.
No.
What
I didn't either. The good guys are always pretty white, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the orgs and stuff, they're pretty dark, so you got the darky orgs.
I haven't seen this particular movie because I didn't know whether my ass could take it. That's about 3.5 hours.
It's a great movie. It's worth it. It only seems like an hour.
I'm going to take my whoopee cushion with me when I go to that.
It was 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you.
You can't get enough of white people.
Woo!
Wow.
Seems like an hour. Because it's all full of white. Not one nigger up there.
Do you see Cold Country or any of that? A Cold Mountain?
A Cold Mountain. I've heard that one.
Yeah, it was sort of long and drawn out.
Was
it? It was. They tried hard. It was the battle scenes were good, but sickening, really. All these white people killing white people, murdering white people.
Now how about the Last Samurai? Was that...
Last Samurai, I thought, was a fantastic movie. I want to see it again. Because the honor that the samurai displayed and had to reteach the American, what's his name? The faggot?
Tom Cruise.
That gay guy?
The gay guy.
The Scientologist.
He fought alongside Custer, and he was telling the Japanese samurai what a rat Custer was. And every time they said how bad he was, the samurai would say, "He good man.
Yeah, good man. Yeah.
Because they thought different, you know. And anyhow, it was very a great film, and it sort of reminds you of what the kind of people we used to have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, even Japan, of course. See, they were trying to modern. See, the new emperor is very young, and they talked him into modernizing, becoming totally Western, you know, wearing Western clothes and having the railroads and all that. And these samurai wanted to uphold the old traditions.
Yeah.
And they wanted to uphold the emperor, and they thought the emperor was selling out.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it was very good, extremely good, the self-sacrifice, you know.
Well,
in fact, there's a temple in there that I was in.
Well, that was
the Shinto temple, and they put me through a ceremony there in the Shinto temple.
Well, I didn't understand what was statue of Buddha doing in the Shinto temple.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
It's almost like they're afraid of Shintoism or something. They want to put, I guess Buddhism has the thing about being a universalist. Pacifist religion,
Shintoism, obviously, was a warrior religion. Yeah. And well,
it's a lot like Odinism.
Just like Odinism.
Yeah, exactly.
The Viking thing. Yeah. In fact, who knows, they probably got together and traded ceremonies.
Yeah, it's a lot like.
Do they have a spook in the sky that rides around on a horse?
I don't know.
He's calling Odin a spook.
I didn't ask
him.
Well, my mentor, Ben Klassen, told me that.
He said Odin was a spook in the sky.
Well... Now, before we get into a knockdown, drag-out brawl here, I think it's time to say goodbye. Tom Padgett from Akron, Ohio.
I hope to be back for another show very soon.
A long-time activist and troublemaker.
Terrible trouble, Tommy, too.
That's right, and here is old doctor of all truth.
Honorable.
Yeah, honorable. Dr. Bob.